All right, we're still in Luke chapter 1. We're still on this one verse. Having perfect understanding of all things from the very first. The very first, again, is that word anothen, or anothen, however you pronounce it. And it's the word that's translated as again and born again. And it means not that, it means from the very beginning or from the tub, from heaven. So let's look at a couple more places. Let's again start in John chapter 3. This is what defines Christianity, and yet it seems to be unknown.
John 3?
No, John. Big John. This is John the Baptist's testimony of Jesus. In verse 24. For John was not yet cast into prison. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom thou bearest witness, behold, the same baptizeth, and all men come to him. John answered and said, A man can receive nothing except it be given him from heaven. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom, which standeth and heareth him, rejoiceth greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. This my joy therefore is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. Now in verse 31, he that cometh from above, he that cometh from anothen, from heaven, from above, from the very first, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven, again anothen, is above all. And what he has seen and heard, that he testifieth, and no man receiveth his testimony. He that receiveth his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth in the Son has everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. So everything about the mystery of God depends on the idea that you were born again, born from above, born from the very first. Nothing else has any importance in this. You can read the best rest of the Bible the rest of your life until you understand that. This is even more a more important predicate than the idea that we've talked about before, that the idea of your death is the predicate. But they're intertwined. You're not, unless you're schizophrenic, you can't have two in you. His humility always is his byline, his byword. He will not occupy where you are. So here is the mystery. You must be born from above. Amen? All right, now let's go to John 19. No, that's not good. That's too complicated. I don't feel like talking about it. Maybe I do. Yeah, this is it. In verse 5, then came Jesus forth wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, but Pilate said unto them, Behold the man. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, they cried out, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. Pilate saith unto them, Take you him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, We have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid. And he went into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, Whence art thou? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then Pilate said unto him, Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? And Jesus answered, Thou couldest have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. Now again, there's no power given to any one, especially here in this mystery, there was no power could be given to Pilate unless it came from above. There is no power that is affecting you unless it came from above. You have no issues. You have no deals. You're not dealing with anything unless you're in rebellion. What?
Well, that word, you're not dealing with anything, and then you'd see Jesus here in this pretty bad position.
I would say pretty bad.
Pretty bad. And now the word deal, was he dealing with it, or what was it?
No, he said no power. He didn't deal with it. He gave it into God's hands.
Yeah, I mean, that's the deal. If you're going to deal with it, it's giving it to God.
But now it's even more so, because you're not even in the picture. If there's something happening to you, if there's some issue taking place, that you dislike, you're counted worthy to partake of the sufferings of Christ. It's not happening to you. But as long as you're deceived, as the serpent beguiled Eve, then you will think, "Oh, there's something happening. I've got to deal with it." Amen.
Word deal bothers me here. It's like, say something is happening to you. You're having great pain. What is the thing called that you do while you're having the pain except dealing with it? Is it always just the same?
It's not my pain, so I don't have any dealings at all.
So the dealing would be reckoning that, perhaps, that it's not yours.
Let me ask you a question. Do you have to deal with your breathing?
No.
Neither do you have to deal with anything else. Do you have to deal with the enzymes that are being released in your body to take care of the food you're chewing? No. There's nothing that you have to deal with. The only time you have to deal with something is when you return to time and space. Then the only dealing is, Father, forgive me. I have resurrected the evil one from the dead again. I've counted the blood of the covenant as an unholy thing. I've crucified afresh the Son of God. Faith is, if you have to think about faith, don't have it. The only time you're aware or should be aware of anything is when you return to the evil state, when you return to the handbasket of the evil one.
Yeah, that's like when he rears his head, so to speak.
He doesn't rear his head without you giving him power.
And right. You give, then that's the moment of truth. Do you say, yeah, that's pretty cool. I'm gonna go with that because it gives me something. And so you resurrect him, and then...
The only thing that ever bring forth fruit necessary for repentance, there is nothing else going on. All right. Let's go to 1 John 3. 1 Peter. Let's go to 1 Peter first. Chapter 1. Verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, or born from above. Again is anathoin, and it means from above, from the very beginning, from the first estate, from the time that, from the point in which time entered eternity. That's what it really means. Once that happens, you don't pay any attention to crap anymore. All right, watch. Being born again, not of corruptible seed or sperm, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away, or falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is that word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And it goes on, laying aside everything else. All right, first, let's go to 1 Peter. I mean, 1 John, I'm sorry. We were there, weren't we? Chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew not him. Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, and him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Now, that's almost an automatic. Again, the Bible is not written to the world. It's not written to your mind. It's written to this place of being born from above. And everything that takes place all these words. If you take him to yourself, then your eyes are blinded. The God of this world has blinded your eyes. But if you see that it's only speaking about him in you, then there's freedom. Then there's liberty. Then there's everything. Because you're and there's no, you can never have a want. You can never have a need. Because you're at the first source of all things. But you leave it when you give breath to yourself. You go back down, and then the Holy Spirit becomes your enemy. And it happens over and over and over and over and over again. Why? I have never heard a preachment on... I've heard the of the word born again constantly in listening to religious radio or television. But I've never heard it that it means born from above, born from the very beginning. Why? Have you ever heard that before?
I think I know why, though. Because if you're not seeing from that place, then you want someone to be born again so that they can be remodeled and repaired, fixed, and become part of your congregation as a repaired soul, rather than someone dead and resurrection.
That's a good point. Because kind can only reproduce kind. Yeah. That's the law of life. You can't produce... that's why the father position is so important, because the father position is the only one that can reproduce. And that reproduction is because you know that you've been with him from the beginning, because you're born again. But if you're born again, i.e. if you think you're born again, that means you've been improved. And then all of the how-tos come into the picture. All right. Where are we? Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. Now this should bother. Listen carefully to the next few words. You know that he was manifest to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth has not seen him, neither known him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. Now, what's it saying? It's saying what I've been saying forever, that there are no how-tos, there's only what-is's. In him is no sin. He cannot sin. In you and I, we are sin. Sin isn't what you do, it's what you are. And until that is grokked and manifested and taken into you and become flesh, then you will constantly go back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Everybody understand that? What? All right. We could spend it. For those who are listening, you should look at Galatians 6:15. You should go back and look at Exodus 33. You should study 1 Timothy 6:16. John 1:18. John 6:42. Matthew 11:25 to 27. Let's go to that one real quick.
Which one?
Matthew 11. that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Now hear that. No man knoweth the Son. Why? Because you can't see him and live. It's the same as back in Exodus when it first said it. When God first said it, you can't see him and live. It's why after the long struggle and Jacob's refusal to ever say who he was, he finally said, I am Jacob, I am the way of the snake. And then his name was changed. No man knoweth the Son. And no man knoweth the Father but the Son. You're not in the picture. I'm not in the picture. This can only be known once we've seen the futility of all human effort, the futility of every thought that I have, every emotion that I feel, the emptiness of it, the meaningless of it. So this born-again thing is born from above is that's why I can't, I mean, this would just drive me insane. You know Jesus as your personal Savior? No. No man knoweth the Son. I pray that you, that becomes flesh. Your warfare is over. Why do you keep fighting it? You've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own because your own is dead. Remember that whole series? I used to get some out of Harry because he was always making some reference to himself. There's no reference. You have no past. You have no future. It's him in the now, forever. And it's done so that your joy would be fulfilled. Why do you let your mind take you on these trips? Is the preaching not hard enough? Can I say it any clearer? What? You didn't say anything out loud, but you were saying a whole lot. What?
I guess that's the ultimate question. Why would you let your mind take you on a trip? It's ridiculous, but nevertheless, it seems to happen. Cross out seems.
Why does it seem? Why does it happen? That's the question.
That is the question.
And the question, because you have made some reference to yourself. You had some concern for your own, you and yours. You had some dealing with yourself. You touched the dead body.
To be that it really is necessary and the world of faith, I mean, to clarify. Without it, your faith is not tested, and then it's worthless. But with that, then...
Do you have to go back to the refrigerator every day for the sour milk?
No, I'll get something else out of there, I guess.
Get something else. Just leave the sour milk in there.
I'll give me a pecan or not.
No, it's not necessary. It's not necessary.
What is.
If you have seen the futility of your own life, if you've been baptized in knowledge, then there's never again an excuse to go back. Otherwise, huh?
This is all just rhetorical.
I mean, yeah, right. More philosophy. From La La Land.
Yeah. Well, no, this is where the tire meets the road, really. I mean, all the preaching in the world, when it gets down to your life, that's what matters.
Shall a garment be spotted by the flesh, is all you have to ask. If you think it's necessary for the garment to be spotted by the flesh, then you're a fool. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no provision for your flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. Period. But, you know, when you haven't lived it, then the first time is scary. Because what happens? He might not be there. And I've got this deal. What must we do to do the work of God? Believe on him who he has sent. Period. It's up to him to fulfill every need, every situation. It's not up to you. And there's no difference. There's no difference between sitting in Bible study and going out and doing a job. It's all the same. There's no secular and spiritual. There's only spiritual. I better stop right going around here. Take it, big guy.